We ask these things for your glory and in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So here this evening, I just want to say thank you again to everybody for coming out, for being here for this weekend, giving up your time to come and go souling in and the great success that it was. And thank you for having me up here. And this evening, what I'm going to be preaching on is miracles, signs, and wonders. And so look down at what the Bible has to say here. What the first thing I want to show you here tonight is that, you know, many times false prophets do have the power to do some supernatural things. Now, I don't doubt whatsoever that there's a lot of it that is faked. You know, for sure, there are definitely those men out there that are just faking it. But we will also see throughout the Bible that there were people who were ministers of Satan that had power to do some actual supernatural powers and things. In fact, we see that here in this chapter alone right here. Look down at what the Bible says there. Of course, we read the whole chapter, but look down at verse number 1. And the Bible says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And so right there we see that, you know, these false prophets, when they come sometimes, or a dreamer of dreams, they might give a sign, they might give a wonder, and that sign or that wonder might actually come to pass. But here's the thing, if that prophet, here's what the Bible is saying, if that prophet comes, and yeah, it comes to pass, the sign, the wonder that he's told you, but then he tells you to do something that's contrary to the word of God. He tells you to go serve other gods. He gives you another way of salvation. He gives you another gospel. The Bible makes it plain that you are not to heed him, and God has allowed this to take place for what reason? To prove you, to see whether you love the Lord your God. And by the way, here's what it means to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, is to keep the commandments of God. Amen. And those commandments are written down in his word for us. His word has been given to us. It's not on some other country out somewhere where you have to send people on a ship to go get the word of God and bring it back to you. It's not up in heaven that you get, somebody has to go up to heaven and bring the word of God down to you. No, the Bible says the word of God is nigh thee in thy mouth. And so we can know what is true and what is not true according to the word of God. And whether somebody appears to have superpowers or not is irrelevant. In fact, right, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter number 7. Let's just look at a few accounts of this throughout the Bible. Go to Exodus chapter number 7 and look at verse number 10. See what the Bible has to say there. Exodus chapter number 7. And look down at verse number 10. And the Bible says there in Exodus chapter number 7, verse number 10, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And so we see an account of this in the Bible, don't we? That we have, yeah, we have Aaron casting down a rod, and it becomes a serpent. But then we have these magicians that also cast down a rod, their rods, and their rods also become serpents. So we see two supernatural acts taking place there, don't we? One by a man of God, and one by the false magicians, according to the Bible. Go ahead and take your Bible and go down to verse number 21 right there. And the Bible says in verse number 21, the Bible says, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So here they do it again. They do another seemingly supernatural act. Take your Bibles and go on down to Exodus chapter number 8. Look at verse number 6. And the Bible says right there in Exodus 8, verse number 6, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. I'm sorry, let me go back up to verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So three different times here in the book of Exodus, we see that these magicians, they copy what God has done, don't they? Now, yeah, they do have a limit, because we go on throughout the plagues in the book of Exodus, and there are other plagues that they try to do it and they can't cause it to happen. But nonetheless, there's these three plagues that they copied what God had done and did something that was seemingly supernatural according to the Bible. Now take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter number 24. Because you may say, well, that was just back then. It was a special case. That can't possibly happen in the end times. Want to bet? Look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 24. Look down at what the Bible has to say. Matthew chapter number 24. And look down at verse number 23. See what the Bible has to say here. Now, people in our movement, we're well acquainted with this chapter, aren't we? We know what's going on here. I don't even have to tell you this is in the end times, do I? Look at what Matthew chapter number 24 has to say down in verse number 23. And the Bible says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, notice this, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And so in the end times, you know, during this time period, and I'm not going to get into the prophecy here tonight, you already are acquainted with it, but in this time period, the Bible makes it plain that there is going to arise false prophets and false Christs, insomuch that they shall do great signs and wonders, that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Now go to Revelation chapter number 13, and we see that the Antichrist and his false prophet will do signs and wonders as well. Look at Revelation 13 and look down at verse number 3. See what the Bible has to say there. Revelation chapter number 13. And look down at verse number 3 and see what the Word of God has to say. Revelation 13 and verse number 3. And the Bible says this, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with them? So here we have in the end times, when the Antichrist comes, that he's going to receive a deadly wound. And this is something that, you know, it's seemingly he's raised back to life, or so it appears. And there are various different opinions as to how this happens. But we know that this is going to happen because it's what the Bible says, right? Yeah. And this man is seemingly going to be raised back to life. And because of this supernatural act, what does the world do? What do the lost do? Many of them are going to wonder after the beast, and they're going to worship the dragon. They're going to worship Satan. Now look down at verse number 11. And the Bible says right there in verse number 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And so we see supernatural acts that are seemingly taking place, miracles that are taking place, whether it's in the Old Testament, the New Testament, Matthew 24, in the end times with the Antichrist, that there are going to be miracles that take place. But does that mean that just because somebody does a miracle that they are of God?
No.
Certainly doesn't. It doesn't. Because right. What do we see here? We see all these false prophets that are doing miracles and great signs and great wonders. Now, don't we see this all the time with people out there in the world? I mean, we see false prophets out there that, you know, they do all these healings and they do all these great signs. They do all these great wonders. I mean, one of these men that's pretty well known is Benny Hinn, right? And Benny Hinn does all these great signs and wonders and heals people, and he's doing all these things, and there are other false prophets that follow along with him, and they're doing great signs and wonders. But just because a man does great signs and wonders, does that mean that he's of God?
No.
And the answer is no, right? And in fact, how do we know that that is true? Because we can take that man and we can take what he says and we can compare it to the Word of God. And if what he tells us is contrary to the Bible, then we know that the man is a false prophet.
Right.
You see, this is why the elect will not be deceived. In the end times, the reason why the elect will not be deceived is because we have the Word of God.
Amen.
It's because we have the Bible. We have the King James Version of the Bible, and we can know what God says, and we can know no matter the dream, no matter the miracle, no matter the sign, no matter the wonder, that if what that man says is contrary to the Bible, then that man is a false prophet.
Amen.
In fact, Benny Hinn, how do we know that that man is a false prophet? And I went through some pain listening to some of his sermons to give you some of the things of what he said. So I heard these things with my own ears, not just something I Googled to see if I could find quotes from other people. I listened to him with my own ears say these exact things in two separate sermons. And this is what he says, that there are four things that have to happen for you to be saved. Number one, you have to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus.
What?
Now that's pretty vague, isn't it? A face-to-face encounter with Jesus? I mean, what exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean I literally have to see Jesus face-to-face? Does that take place today?
No.
I mean, show me that in the Word of God. Show me where the Bible says that in the Word of God. And the Bible does not say that, but he says you have to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Number two, the Holy Spirit must reveal that this Jesus is Christ. Number three, you have to acknowledge it. And number four, you have to acknowledge it publicly and cannot be ashamed of it. And if you are ashamed of it, you are unsaved. And on top of that, in order to be saved, you have to have a personal relationship with Christ. Now listen, is that clear on the gospel, on the way of salvation?
No.
I mean, listen, if we're going to show somebody what must I do to be saved, wouldn't we show them that verse?
Yeah.
Right? That says, believe on the Lord Jesus. I mean, wouldn't we show them John chapter number 3, verse 36, John chapter number 3, verse 16, verse 17, 18. I mean, we could show them Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, Ephesians 2, 8. We've got a multitude of scriptures that we could show somebody how they can be saved. But what does Benny Hinn say? Benny Hinn says that if you are ashamed of him, that you're not saved, and you must have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, let me tell you this. Having a personal relationship with Jesus for salvation is works.
Amen. Right.
It is not, that is not how you get saved. A personal relationship for salvation is not found in the Word of God.
Amen.
A personal relationship, you know what that means? That means that you must love God in order to be saved. And in order to love God, you must keep the commandments. And that is
Amen.
A works-based salvation. Go to 1 John chapter number 2 and look at verse number 3 and see what the Bible has to say there. 1 John chapter number 2, look down at verse number 3. And the Bible says this, in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 3, and the Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Amen.
But whoso keepeth his word in him verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And so listen, what does the Bible show us there? That if you know God, you are keeping the commandments of God. So if you say that you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus in order to be saved, you're saying you have to know God. And thereby you're saying you have to keep the commandments of God, and that is a works based salvation.
Right.
And then you know what? It's even worse, because he says that if you're ashamed of Christ at any time, that you're unsaved. And listen, he says, we know these things. We know that this is true because Peter, we see these things in the life of Peter, and we know for sure that Peter was saved because Jesus Christ gave to Peter the keys of the kingdom, and therefore he was saved. Well, let's look at that, shall we? Go to Matthew chapter number 16 and look at what the Bible has to say there. Matthew chapter number 16, look at verse number 18. And then we're going to look at Matthew 26 right after that. Matthew chapter number 16. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Matthew chapter number 16. Look down at verse number 18. See what the Bible has to say over there. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. And the Bible says this in Matthew 16 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So right here, you know what? We have Peter being given the keys to the kingdom, and Benny Hinn admits that Peter is saved at this point. Now let me ask you a question. Isn't there a point that comes after this in which Peter was ashamed of Christ?
Yeah.
There sure wasn't there? And so Benny Hinn defeats himself, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because he says if you're ashamed of Christ, you're not saved. But then he uses Peter as an example. Let's look at it. Matthew 26, look at verse number 33. Matthew chapter number 26. And look down at verse number 33 and see what the Bible has to say there. Matthew 26, verse number 33. And the Bible says there in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 33, the Bible says this, "Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." Now let's skip on down for time's sake. Go down to verse number 58. And look at what the Bible says there. But Peter, this is after Jesus is taken, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses." Let's get down a little farther. Go down to verse 69. And the Bible says right there, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that was there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now let's do some simple math here tonight. 16 comes before the chapter 26, doesn't it?
Yep.
And if he's saved in chapter number 16, but yet we see him ashamed of Christ here in chapter 26, isn't he still saved?
Yep.
He absolutely is. So you know what? It is possible for a Christian to get backslidden and to be ashamed of Christ. It is possible for a Christian to get backslidden and to be even ashamed of himself and to be ashamed of being a part of Christianity or being a part of a church. I mean, that is possible to take place in a person's life. That's why the Apostle Paul gave the command to the church and told them not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, nor of me, the prisoner of Christ.
Amen.
Listen, if that could not take place, would we even need that in the Bible?
Right.
No, we wouldn't. But you know what? We have this thing that we have to battle called the flesh, don't we? And if we allow the flesh to overcome us, it is possible for a Christian to get to that point where they are ashamed. But you know what? They are still saved, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then later on, you get to the point where you're backslidden and you're ashamed of yourself. I mean, did you lose your salvation?
No.
Could you lose your salvation?
No.
The answer is no, because nothing you can do can take away that salvation. So Peter was saved, and Benny Hinn is a false prophet. You see, it doesn't matter the signs and the wonders, and it doesn't matter how many people he smacks on the forehead and they fall down. It doesn't matter how many times he waves that coat and you see the crowd falling down. And it doesn't matter how many times he does all these seemingly miracles and supernatural wonders. If what he tells you is contrary to the Bible, then the man is a false prophet.
Amen.
And there are many of them in this world today.
Right.
There are many that will come in the future, in so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. But they will not deceive the very elect, because the elect have the word of God.
Amen.
But you see, the world will tell you, oh, you're just being judgmental. You're right, I am being judgmental.
Amen.
Because he which is spiritual judgeth all things,
Amen.
Yet he himself is judged of no man.
Amen.
And listen, the Bible says that the law is spiritual. You know why I can judge all things? Because if I am a spiritual man, I'm not judging according to my own opinion. I'm judging according to the commandments and the word of God.
Right.
The judgments have already been laid down. The commandments have already been given. And I can look at things going on in this world and know what is right and know what is wrong and know that this man's a man of God and this man's a false prophet because of what is written in the word of God.
Amen.
Because God has given to us his word, we can discern the signs and the times, and we can discern that there are men out there who are false prophets.
Right.
That's amazing. You look at Christianity today, and many so-called Christians are so easily deceived by false prophets.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, listen, how many in the old IFB were deceived by Billy Graham? I mean, a whole lot of it. I can't tell you how many old IFB preachers, and I mean preachers, that I saw that when Billy Graham passed away, that they're praising Billy Graham.
Yeah, right.
That they're praising the great works that he did and all these things. But if they would just take the time to do some research, they find out that the man had said some things that were flat out blasphemous.
Yeah.
They find out that the man taught a false gospel.
Yeah.
In his very last video he ever put out, what was it that he said? He said, in order for a man to be saved, he must have repentance.
Right. Yeah.
And this is what he defined as repentance. He must change his way of living. And that is flat out repent of your sins heresy, that you have to stop sinning in order to be saved. That man is a heretic who's burning in hell. And you could dig even further and you could find out that this man received a degree from an honorary degree from a Catholic university.
Wow.
Now listen, would any independent Baptist preacher worth his salt ever take a degree from a Catholic university?
Never.
Then why in the hell are we honoring a man that took a degree from a Catholic university?
Right.
Why are independent Baptists doing this? Why are they honoring false prophets like this when you can look at the Word of God and you can take that man's own words and compare them to the Bible and find out that the man is a false prophet?
Amen.
You can look at what he said. You can even look and see when he received the degree. And he said, I don't know, but this might be the start of me being called father.
Wow.
Now, isn't that blasphemous for a preacher to say that? Do you think any preacher worth his salt would ever make that statement?
Never.
And you may say, well, he was just joking. He was just being funny. Listen, that's not being funny. That's blasphemy against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's taking a name that is ascribed for God the Father, and he's applying it to himself. That is wicked, and that's of the devil. And we can know the man is a false prophet because of what the Bible says.
Amen.
But yet old IFB churches and pastors are completely deceived by them.
That's right.
And why is it that they are deceived? Many of them, it might be because they themselves are a false prophet.
Yeah. Right.
Many of them because there's many preachers who are still novices who haven't studied the Word of God.
Right.
They went to some Bible college and they got a degree, and they think that because they had got a degree that now they're equipped and qualified to pastor. Let me tell you something, having a Bible college degree doesn't qualify you to be a pastor.
That's right.
I have a Bible college degree, and you know what I would do with it? I'd chuck it in the garbage. That thing is worthless.
Amen.
And it's amazing. The Bible college I graduated from, now they're teaching all kinds of strange doctrines. All kinds of Jewish fables that are allowed to be preached there, and all kinds of things that can be said from that pulpit. But hey, because we don't worship the Jews, we're the ones that are the heretics, right?
Wow.
Look back at what the Bible has to say here. In fact, go and take your Bibles, and let's go to Acts chapter number 2. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Acts chapter number 2. And look at verse number 42. And see what the Word of God has to say. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. And many Christians today would give you this argument. Well, can't we do signs and wonders today? I mean, because after all, during the days of Pentecost, they were doing signs and wonders. They could do all these things. Why can't we do these things today? And that man who gets his sight on that and is desiring to be able to do the miracles and desiring to do the wonders, his heart is in the wrong place.
Amen.
Because you ought not to be desiring that. You know what I desire? To see people saved.
Right.
You know the gifts that I desire? To be able to preach with boldness.
Amen.
To be able to preach with power.
Yeah.
To be able to see people saved because of the gift of preaching and prophesying. Look at what the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 2. Look down at verse number 42. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by who?
The apostles,
right? And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs, verse 43 again, were done by the apostles. Now let me ask you a question. What book are we in?
Acts.
What's the full title?
The Acts of who?
The apostles. You know who it was that was going around and doing the signs and the wonders? It was the apostles and those who they laid hands on that they gave power to do those signs and those wonders during that day and time. Because during that day and time, you know what they didn't have? They didn't have the completed Word of God. And so the apostles were given great power to do these things for a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
That was the purpose of it. But when that which was perfect was come, then the tongues and those signs and those wonders ceased according to the Bible. In fact, go to Acts chapter number 5 and look at verse number 9. Acts chapter number 5, and look down at verse number 9, see what the Bible has to say. Acts chapter number 5, and verse number 9. And the Bible says right there, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of who?
The apostles
were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now let me ask you a question here today. Do we have apostles today?
No.
No, we don't. I mean, listen, apostles, what was the qualification of an apostle? That you had to, starting at the baptism of John, have been an eyewitness of these things and been an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone alive today that meets those qualifications?
No.
Then we don't have apostles today, do we?
No.
You see, those signs and wonders, they ceased with the apostles.
Yeah.
Because it was after the days of the apostles that we then had the completed word of God, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we no longer needed signs and wonders, because now we don't need those things for a witness. We don't need those things for a testimony, because we have those signs and wonders and miracles in real time in the Bible, right?
Amen.
Right here in the word of God, that you can open up the Bible and you can read about those miracles. You can read about those signs. You can read about those wonders.
Amen.
And you can see it in the word of God.
Amen.
And we have the testimony of God in our very hands.
Amen.
You see, we have a more powerful tool. You know how privileged our generation is?
That's right.
That we have a more powerful tool than what many Christians have throughout all the ages.
Yeah.
That we have the completed word of God. We have the freedom to have multiple copies of the word of God. I mean, listen, every one of us has a Bible right here tonight, and there are multiple Bibles all around this church that aren't even being used. They're just there for extra people that come into the church. I mean, they didn't have that throughout the ages, have that freedom, have that liberty. They didn't have the technology that we have today with the apps and the Bible on the phone and all of these things that we now have today. I mean, listen, I would rather have the completed word of God than to be able to lay my hands on somebody and heal them.
Amen.
I would rather have the complete Bible than to be able to call fire down from heaven, or to be able to part the Red Sea, or whatever the miracle is. Because you know what? We can have greater knowledge than what the prophets had, right?
Right. Yep.
Because the prophets, they saw through a glass darkly.
Right.
Some of them prophesied of things that they themselves didn't even understand, like Daniel. I mean, God told Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the time is not what? It's not now. And I'm paraphrasing it there, but he prophesied of something that he did not yet understand. But yet today, we have the book of Daniel, we have the book of Revelation, and we can understand what God told Daniel when Daniel himself didn't even understand some
right,
of those
right,
things.
Right.
You know what? This is better than what they had, because we have the complete word of God. This is the biggest miracle right here.
Amen.
I mean, listen, 66 books that God gave to mankind that were inspired by God, that God gave to us throughout all these ages, many of these men that never knew one another, and yet all of their writings all agree in one accord, and there's not one mistake.
Wow. Yep.
There's not one error.
Right.
This is one of the biggest miracles. You want a long after seeing miracles in this world, and you've got one sitting in your lap.
Amen.
You've got it right there. You hold it every time you go sowing in. You open the pages of this right here, and it's a miracle that's in your hands, the very word of God.
Amen.
We don't need signs and wonders today, because we have the complete word of God. By the way, didn't Jesus say an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign?
Amen.
You see, we're not supposed to be seeking after those signs. But that's what the heathen seek after, don't they? That's what the Pentecostals seek after. I mean, they're looking for some kind of sign. They're looking for somebody speaking in tongues and somebody to fall out writhing on the ground. And they're looking for all these things that take place and happen. And they get all emotional and they think that it's the power and the Spirit of God. Hey, the power and the Spirit of God was placed upon men for one reason. And it wasn't to do miracles and signs. It was to preach the Word of God.
Yeah.
Just look up every time somebody was filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you know what they did? They preached the Word of God.
Yeah.
That is what is being filled with the Spirit. Look back at what the Bible has to say.
Yeah.
Go to Luke chapter number 10. And look at verse number 17. During the days of Jesus and during the days of the apostles, you know, signs and wonders before their days was not something that just took place all the time. Now, yes, we read about miracles from time to time that take place throughout the Bible, but how many years of a span of time does this Bible right here cover?
Thousands.
A little over 4,000 years, right? I mean, from the time of creation until the time of Christ was about 4,000 years. And then we have the New Testament, which goes through the apostles' lives. So a span of a little over 4,000 years is right here in the Word of God. Do you realize that when you read those miracles, it wasn't that they all happened at one time? You see, sometimes we get the idea because we can read through the Bible so fast, right? We can read through it so quickly. We start thinking, well, these things are just happening all over the place all the time. That's not at all what happened, did it? Yeah,
right.
There's miracles and signs and wonders that took place, but the majority of mankind did not see those things. Those things were given to the prophets to be written down for us to be able to see and read about. Look at what the Bible says here in Luke chapter number 10, and look down at verse number 17. The Bible says this in Luke chapter number 10 and verse 17. Luke chapter number 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, these 70 that returned, they're kind of surprised that they have the power to do this. You know why? Because they've not seen these things in their lifetime. It was unusual until Christ came for men just to go around and cast demons out of people. I mean, these kinds of miracles that just took place all over the place, where demons are being cast out, where the blind are being healed, where the woman with the issue of blood is being healed, where the lame are being healed and can walk again. These things just did not take place all over the place until this time, and it was for a specific reason, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was for a reason to be a witness that this is the very Christ.
Amen.
That this is the Messiah. It's the one we've read about, that we've seen in the Word of God,
yep,
that these things were prophesied in the Scriptures, and now they've come to pass. And now when he passes off the scene and his apostles pass off the scene, then we no longer have any miracles so much anymore. And now it's unusual for these kinds of miracles to take place. You know why? Because it is a witness and a sign that this was the very Christ.
Amen.
Just as in the Old Testament they were looking forward to this, we are in the New Testament looking back on this, and these things are a witness that this is the very Messiah. Because no matter the miracles, the signs, the wonders that mankind does on this earth, there will never be a man that comes upon the face of this earth that did such mighty and wonderful miracles as the Christ,
amen,
as the Messiah, and as his apostles.
Right.
And it is a witness that in this time, when Christ came, these things are a witness that this was the Christ.
Amen.
That's why it never happened with a great number of miracles beforehand, and it's not happened since then so much afterwards. You know why? Because it was a witness that this is the very Christ, and the apostles had that power for one reason, to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back at what the Bible has to say in Acts chapter number 4. And look at verse number 33. Acts chapter number 4. And look at verse number 33. See what the Word of God has to say there. Acts chapter number 4. And look down at verse number 33. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 33. And the Bible says right there in Acts 4, 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So again, who's giving witness here? The apostles, right? Go back to Acts chapter number 1. And look at verse number 20. See what the Bible has to say there. Acts chapter number 1. We already talked about this. But let's go ahead and read it. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 20. And the Bible says right there, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So we just read the qualification of an apostle, and these men don't live today, do they?
No.
I mean, is anybody here 2,000 years old? Anybody here that's lived that long? They're pointing at Brother McGregor, but there's not a man that's lived that long upon the face of this earth. So there is no apostles. Those signs and those wonders, they ceased with the apostles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Look what the Bible has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And look on down at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And look down at verse number 8. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall what? Cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
Yeah,
you know what? When that which was perfect was come,
yep,
then that which was done in part shall pass away. You see, the tongues and those prophecies and those things in the Old Testament, they saw through a glass darkly. Those things were done in part. They couldn't see perfectly. But now we have the completed Word of God. There's no more need for the tongues.
Yeah.
There's no more need to do the healings and these things for signs and wonders.
Amen.
Because that which is perfect has come. And the Bible says those things shall cease, the Bible says. Now go to James chapter number 5. And look at what the Bible has to say there. James chapter number 5. Now, does God perform miracles today from time to time? Does he heal people from time to time? Sure, the answer is yes, isn't it? Look at what the Bible has to say. James chapter number 5. And look down at verse number 14. James chapter number 5. And verse number 14. And the Bible says this in James chapter number 5. If I can get my fingers working, join you over there. There I go. James 5, verse number 14, the Bible says right there, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So listen, does God from time to time heal people? Yes, he does. And listen, he gives us a means here by which to do it. In fact, I can give you the witness that I have, at a time in my life when I was a pastor, I have put this into effect in my life. There was a lady in my church, a godly woman, and she was going through some health things. I mean, you should have seen this woman. She looked like she was about to die. And you know what? Her husband called for us. We went in. We just laid hands on her and prayed for her just in faith. And you know what? God raised her up. And she's still alive today.
Amen.
I mean, she's still living today. Her husband's passed on from the scene, but she's still alive.
Amen.
I mean, God raised her up. So does God do it from time to time? Does he answer our prayers to heal the sick from time to time? Yes, he does. But do we just have the power to be able to just lay our hands on anybody we want and just heal them or cast out devils?
No.
And the answer is no, right? We don't have that power because that power was given to the apostles. And that power ceased with the apostles when that which was perfect was come, because it's the apostles that gave us the rest of the completed word of God.
Amen.
And now we no longer need those signs and wonders and miracles to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ, because they're written down for us.
Amen.
Because they're put in the word of God. Now take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians 12. And look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And look down at verse number 28, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And look down at verse number 38 and see what the Word of God has to say there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And look at verse number 38. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 38. And the Bible says, I'm sorry, did I say 38, 28? There's not 38 verses in that chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And the Bible says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that. So this is fourth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it the most important thing?
Oh,
no, it's not. Look at what it says. Miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Now listen, the tongues is the very last one. I mean, in a list of importance, tongues is at the very end. But yet today we have Pentecostals today that act like tongues are the most important thing. And many times they'll even say that if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not saved. They're looking for signs. They're looking for wonders. And by the way, they don't even speak in tongues according to the Bible, do they?
No.
They don't do these things according to the Word of God. It's a circus in there. It's just chaos in there. The Bible says that they are to speak one at a time. That is to be done decently and in order. And if there's not an interpreter, they're not even supposed to do it.
Yeah.
They're not even supposed to speak in tongues. And furthermore, tongues was a sign not to them that believe, but to who? But to them that unbelieve.
Right.
And why was it a sign to them that unbelieve? Because every man heard in his own language
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
They heard the gospel. That was the miracle that God wrought in those days by the power of the apostles, that they had the gift to speak in other tongues and preach the word of God so that men could be saved. But guess what? Now, we don't need that now, do we?
No.
Because we've got the completed word of God. Look back at what the Bible has to say here in 1 Corinthians 12. Look down at verse number 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? And what is the answer to that?
No.
No. I mean, we're not all prophets, are we? Well, in a sense, you are when you go out and preach the gospel, right? In that sense. But as far as being a preacher standing behind the pulpit, are we all prophets in that sense? No, are we all teachers that stand behind the pulpit and teach the word of God? No, because there are some of you that just because you're a woman, you're not qualified to do that, are you? The Bible says you're to be silent in the church house. Look at what else the Bible says in verse number 30. Have all the gifts of healings. Do all speak with tongues. Do all interpret. But covet earnestly, what's it say?
The best
gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, what's the best gifts? Well, let me ask you this. If he said first that there were first apostles, do the apostles exist today?
No.
No, so for us today, what is the first thing? According to the Bible there, it said secondarily, prophets. You see, the best gift that you ought to desire, that you ought to covet, is to preach the word of God with power and with boldness. And if you're one of these that desires just to do all these miracles, to do all these signs, to do all these wonders, your heart is in the wrong place.
Amen.
That's not where your heart needs to be. Your heart needs to be on the Word of God, because if your heart is on the signs and on the wonders, it'll be easier for you to be deceived by that false prophet.
Right.
You see, God said that he would allow that false prophet to come back in Deuteronomy 13. For what reason? To prove you whether ye love the Lord thy God or not.
Amen.
You see, sometimes God wants to prove his people. He wants to see who loves him, and he'll let that false prophet come in. He'll let that false prophet speak something to you and say something to you to see if you're going to follow him and his word or not. Hey, that reminds me of the prophet in the Bible that God commanded him to go preach the word of God, and then he told him, you're supposed to come directly back. That was the word that God gave him. And as he's on his way back, there's another man that meets him and says, hey, I'm a prophet of God too. Turn aside with me. And the prophet heeded the words of that prophet instead of the word that God had given to him. And God killed the prophet. God destroyed him. Why? Because God was proving that man. And you see, sometimes God may let something happen in your life to prove you. He may allow that false prophet to come along. He may allow a situation in your life. He may allow a circumstance in your life because he's proving you to see whether you love him or not. And listen, if you heed that false prophet, you're showing God you don't love him. You're showing God you don't are not going to follow his word. You're not digging deep into his word. Hey, if that false prophet comes, don't follow him. Yeah. In the end days, they shall come and they shall deceive many. And the Bible says, but if you're saved, if you're the very elect, that's not Israel, that's the saved, isn't it?
Amen.
If you're the very elect, you shall not be deceived.
Yeah.
And why do we not have to be deceived? Because we have the very word of God.
Amen.
We have the perfect word of God. We have the King James Bible. And by the way, and if God, in order for something to qualify as scripture, it must be perfect.
Amen.
You see, this is why we know the book of Enoch is not scripture.
That's right.
How many times do you see people out there that go, well, what about the book of Enoch? They just left that one out. Well, maybe because it talks about giants that are hundreds or thousands of feet tall. Doesn't that contradict the Bible? I mean, the measurements in the Bible for giants was 9 feet for Goliath and 13 feet for the bed of Og, the king of Bashan. Yeah. Only measurements given in the Bible about giants are those measurements right there. That's a far cry from thousands of feet. How would you ladies like to give birth to that baby? I mean, listen, that's how we know it's not of the word of God, because it's not perfect, because God promised to preserve his word for every generation.
Amen.
And listen, if he didn't preserve every word, and the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, how can you do that if you don't have it?
Right.
How can I live by every word of God if it's not right here in my hands? If it's not somewhere where I can find it and read it? And let me ask you this. If God is powerful enough to create the universe, don't you think he's powerful enough to give us a book that tells us about his son and to preserve it for every generation?
Amen.
So why would he not do it? And if God loves us enough to send his son to die on the cross, doesn't he love us enough and love his son enough to give us a book to tell us about his son so that we may be saved?
Amen.
So that Jesus Christ may receive the rewards of his own sufferings?
Yes.
Doesn't he have that kind of love?
Amen.
If he does, then how do we not have the perfect word of God today? You see, God promised to give us his word to every single generation, and every generation is without excuse.
Amen.
Because every generation has had the word of God.
Amen.
Even during the days of Deuteronomy, listen, that's a ways back, isn't it? They didn't have as much scripture as we have here now, but even back then, they had no excuse if they were deceived by the false prophet. Because they had the word of God. And if they had no excuse, do we today have an excuse?
No.
No, not whatsoever. And you know what? That leads us to the question, what about those people that are out there in the world that just haven't had a witness? I don't believe they exist.
Yeah.
You know why I don't believe that? Because I believe that every single generation, there has been a generation of Christians that have preached the word of God to the entire world.
Amen.
We see it in the days of the apostles that the Bible tells us they preached the word of God to every creature.
Yep.
Hey, isn't it being done today within our movement?
Yep.
We're going around the world preaching the word of God to every creature, to every nation. We're taking it all over the place. We've got YouTube. We've got the Faithful Word app. I mean, we're taking it everywhere to every nation. They are without excuse.
Amen.
Even in the Old Testament, hey, they had the nation of Israel that was a witness to the world.
Amen.
When Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and God had rained fire down on Egypt and brought the lice and brought the frogs and turned the water into blood and done those mighty miracles and destroyed the nation of Egypt. Hey, that was the most powerful nation on the face of this planet. And you know what? God used that as a witness to the rest of the world, didn't he?
Amen.
And you know what? After that, they had the nation of Israel, and their job was to be a witness unto the ends of the earth.
Yeah, that's right.
In every generation, there's been a generation that preached the word of God to every single person on this planet. And you know what? It's going to be done today.
Amen.
And I believe that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. You know why? Because the Bible says that in the end times, Matthew 24, Mark 13, that in those days that the word of God shall be published unto every nation, unto all nations, that the word of God will be preached around the entire earth.
That's right.
You know what? That is exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
To sit there and think that we could be a part of that prophecy,
yep,
that the word of God is going to every single nation.
Amen.
But don't let the false prophets mislead you. Don't let them get your eyes off of what we ought to be doing. Don't let them get your eyes off of the word of God. No matter the miracles, no matter the signs, no matter the wonders, no matter what somebody tells you when you're at their door that they've seen, no matter what miracles they tell you they've had happen in their lives or the dreams that they've had. As a soul owner for 25 years, I've heard a whole lot of strange stories. And you will too, as you sowing, you'll hear people all the time that tell you, well, I saw this, or I had this dream, or this happened. I know I'm saved because of this miracle that took place in my life. Anybody ever had something like that?
Yeah.
I know I'm saved because God kept me from dying in this accident. Hey, what does that tell you about that person? It tells you that person is not saved, is what it does. Because they're not saved just because God spared their physical life. They have to believe on Christ in order to be saved. Don't let the false prophet mislead you. No matter what happens in this world, you stick to the word of God.
Amen.
No matter what a man tells you, you stick with the Bible and you follow your pastor as your pastor follows Christ.
Amen. Right.
Follow the word of God because God may prove you to see whether you love him or not.
Right.
You see, your church may go through a time of trying. Your church may go through a time where God is proving you. And if you'll get through that time of being proved, I can testify to this, God will bless you.
Amen.
I know this for a fact because my church has gone through it, where God has proved us to see whether we love him. And you know what it seemed like during that time? It seemed like just that was never going to come to an end. And you start questioning yourself. And you start asking if you're doing the right thing. But you know what you go back to? I know I'm doing the right thing. This is what the word of God says.
Amen.
And you get through it. And when you do, God will bless you beyond your dreams. Let's end in a word of prayer here tonight. Then I'll turn it back over to Brother McGregor tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word this evening. I ask that you help us to take these things, to search them out. Lord, we thank you for what a wonderful weekend we've had. For the souls that have been saved, I just ask that you would bless this church in their efforts to continue winning people to the Lord, and that you'd help people to get baptized and to come and join this church, and that you would grow this church, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that was a great message, Pastor Major. We sure appreciate you sharing that. And it's very timely, of course. Every time you go out soul-winning, I think every time I go out, I bump into people that's their issue. They think they're saved because of some supernatural sign or wonder. And it's awful easy. I've seen Baptists get caught up in that, brother. I've seen it. You get all caught up in that false doctrine. Thank you, Pastor Major, for that. And so we've had a great weekend. Amen?
Yeah.
Canada Day weekend like none other.
That's right.
You could have gone... You could have gone to see family and watched them get drunk, or you could have done something stupid like watch, go down to Cuba Beach and watch fireworks, or you could have gone to some other excursion, but you served God all weekend long, and you led a lot of souls to Christ. What's our soul winning count for the whole weekend?
28 today.
So today we had 28 souls saved.
29 today.
29. We had a straggler come in, and then 13 yesterday, and 18 the day before. What does that look like?
It was 15 yesterday.
15 yesterday. Okay. Come on now. What was it?
62.
Wow.
Praise God.
Salvations. Amen. And four baptisms and two that should have got baptized, but we couldn't find our tank.
Sarah.
Hey, man. At least we're famous somehow. So that is awesome. Now, of course, I think the story of the weekend, if it wasn't for the great preaching, I believe the great story for this weekend is the revolutionary idea of having a portable baptistry.
Amen.
And all those baptisms happened because of the portable baptistry, and people attended the services that were affected by that. So very, very exciting thing. We're going to keep doing that. When we have soul-winning pushes, we will have the baptistry filled and ready for mobile action. So that's going to be something you'll see again and again and again, Lord willing, as we're able to do that. We do have to pray about a solution for the winter, and we'll deal with that as the winter approaches. We'll find a way of brainstorming that one. Amen. All right, now, as you know, there is another meal that's going to take place, and then if you'll stick around, we do have fireworks that did not get fired last night. We decided to do them tonight instead, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be dark probably in a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. So just as we're going to dismiss the word of prayer, and we'll have some leftovers to clean up, and then we'll and a lot of fruit and stuff. Please clean it all up, otherwise it goes bad, right? And then we'll have our outdoor events. All right, let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this great weekend that has now come to a conclusion. While the folks out there in the world have reveled in worldly affairs, we have reveled in Holy Ghost affairs. And it's been a pleasure to do so. And that you came with us and have been with us in great power is our honor indeed as ambassadors of Christ to work with you. And we pray that you'll bless now as we partake together in fellowship and in fun and some frivolity. And I also pray that you bless Pastor Major as he returns to his home church and bless those precious folks down there that have supported this man and held him up in prayer as he's been here and has shared him with us. Both those churches, actually, I believe he pastors two churches. Bless them all, and we pray, Lord, that you do great things there in those places where Pastor Major is pastoring right now, and that you'd bless those precious folks. And may they know our love for them because for sharing their man of God with us. And we pray that you'll dismiss us with power. Those that are traveling, give them traveling mercies as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Should I finish it?
Yeah.